Hi, everybody. My name is Larry Jacobs, and this is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. It is September 26th. It's noontime here on the East Coast and 9 a.m. in the morning for my good guest, my good friend, frequent visitor here to the show, not often enough, Kami Akhavan. Kami is the CEO of Procon.org, Procon.org, and it is the nation's most used and trusted resource for the pros and cons of issues. Totally neutral, all right, on every issue, Procon.org. Kami's work to improve the quality and accessibility of civics education and debate. He's been interviewed on far better venues than this one, but we're thrilled always to have him. Reuters, Associated Press, Fox News, ABC, NPR, CNN, CBS. He's been here a number of times. I think he likes us the best. Okay, and he's just amazing. So we're going to talk to Kami about the how to teach civics these days. The midterm elections are coming up, how ProCon works, what every teacher, K-12, needs to know about it, okay? So you don't have to be scared to teach civics if you can teach it in a balanced manner. All right, and so we'll go from there and et cetera. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. That's our website. We put all of our shows over there. We tweet it out over at EduTalk Radio, Facebook, LinkedIn, same thing, EduTalk Radio. All right, you can go over there and follow us, friend us, link in, whatever the heck you want to do over there. And please go over and check out our website for our new digital magazine. Accessibility, Compliance, and Equity in Education is the name of the magazine, ace-ed.org. ACE, Accessibility, Compliance, Equity, ace-ed.org. We have a news feed that goes up there all the time. We have all the podcasts that have to do with those subjects up there all the time. And we have great articles and advertisers in the digital magazine, ace-ed.org. And here's Kami.
Hey, good morning, Larry.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing terrific, thank you. A beautiful day out here in Los Angeles, California. I know you're on the opposite coast there.
I am. Good morning. Diagonally across, but it's a warm day, just a little bit cloudy here today. All right, but it rained like heck yesterday. You know, rain, water falls from the sky, rain. It rained all day yesterday.
I've heard of it, Yeah.
Yes. And you should get on that side of the issue, too. Pro-con, rain, no rain, okay? And we'll see what happens there. All right. Kami, it's great to have you here, and I know you're so busy, and I really appreciate you taking the time. But it's important because this is what you do. We need accessibility to the right information on every issue, okay? And so civics education debate, Procon.org, unbelievable. Just tell everybody, give them the better definition.
Well, sure. Larry, you did such a good job. Procon.org is, like you said, the pros and the cons of controversial issues. But unlike something that's wiki-generated, crowd-supported data, this is research that's curated by professional researchers. We're talking folks with PhD degrees who come from major media organizations who sit in our intellectual sweatshop of sorts and come up with the very best research on both sides of the issue, and then they present it in this deceptively simple pro and con format. And the reason I say deceptively simple is because, boy, does that sound easy. You put it in two columns, but look who else is doing that. Nobody. And the reason why it's so useful is because you immediately visually recognize there are two sides to this story here.
There
and
are.
You're getting the best of both sides. And more importantly, you're constantly exposed to the other side. And so what we find in the real value of ProCon is not just educating people on the issues where they can learn more about it. Of course, that's important. But perhaps more important is exposure to other points of view. And that exposure to other points of view does some pretty magical things, including maybe developing some respect for the other side, maybe understanding
nice.
A different point of view, maybe lowering the heat in the room and the volume of the rhetoric so that we can just communicate with each other a little more effectively and understand where folks are coming from so we can make a little bit of progress on these big issues that divide us. It's intended to be the echo chamber zap gun so we can get out of our own way and think critically about the issues that matter most in this country.
And it is for educators. Anybody can go there. It's wonderful. But educators, it's unbelievable. Okay, I want to make that perfectly clear. Please, procon.org. And Kami, I just went over, okay, and I should have gone over earlier, but I couldn't for reasons I cannot explain on the air. Okay, I have something to ask you. You taught me this, Kami, and I see that it's not there. You ready?
Please, go ahead. Yeah.
You ready? On a show we did about a year ago, you said that the words gun control, okay, which is one of your most popular topics. Gun control can be offensive to those people who are great supporters of the Second Amendment, okay, and that they prefer, because it is in the Constitution, the term gun rights, which changes the aspect of it a little bit, all right? And yet you have gun control over there, so should it be gun control or gun rights?
Ooh, great question.
You taught me that.
Yeah, I love being challenged, Larry. I welcome it, relish it. That's what we're all about. So the answer to your question is the way that ProCon is designed, it's intended to be a magnet for people who are trying to understand the issues. And so we try to make the magnet for the biggest population of people possible. The term gun control is far more searched on the internet than the term gun rights is. And so because of that, we're trying to get the most greatest number of people to come onto the site and look. The concepts of gun rights are, of course, very well represented on that page. However, to be the magnet, we're calling it gun control. And that's similar, too. There's other terms on the site. For instance, an example is the physician-assisted suicide. For some people who are in advocacy on that issue, and it's a super important, very delicate life and death issue, they find that term objectionable. They prefer the term physician aid in dying. Say this is not suicide, this is physician aid in dying. And so, however, that term, physician aid in dying, is barely searched. It may be the preferred term, and they may have a very good point and a valid point that the term it's not really a physician-assisted suicide. However, we want people to understand both sides of that debate, and so we present it in the most common language possible. At the end of the day, this is intended to be a tool for the public to wrap their heads around issues without the interference of bias. So there's some times when we could be more delicate, but for the purpose of drawing in a bigger tent, we're going with the most common language.
Thank you. And by the way, when you said to me a few years ago about changing that term, I have done that, actually. And if people bring up gun control, especially if we're talking about with people who are gun owners, so to speak, I always bring up I'm in favor of some sort of controls, mechanisms of control, but we're talking about gun rights because gun rights are guaranteed, at least the way it's read, in the U.S. Constitution. You taught me something. Thank you for explaining
well,
that.
Well,
you're
very welcome. You taught me a whole lot more than that, so I'll take credit for my one thing.
I love your one thing. And the other thing, if I may, anybody can go over here, procon.org. Under politics, I noticed no mention of Judge Kavanaugh. Is that just happening too soon?
Basically right. You know, we would love to cover the issue of Judge Kavanaugh, whether he should be confirmed as the next Supreme Court justice. However, just to understand the process at ProCon, you notice a lot of the topics we cover are what I call evergreen. These are topics that, like you mentioned, gun control, animal testing, death penalty, immigration, marijuana. These issues are all-stars. And the reason why we pick those is because, at minimum, it takes us 400 hours to do the research just to launch a topic. And then once it's launched and publicly available, we, of course, inherit the burden and responsibility of updating it, making sure that it's current with the latest studies, research, quotes, best information, so that way folks who come to the site, they know that they're getting the very, very best, highest quality, most updated information on these issues. So because of that, we end up tackling maybe 5-6 topics a year, and typically with a long lead time. And so right now, with the issue of Judge Kavanaugh, as much as we'd like to do it, by the time we're done, the debate will be over, and we won't really be able to help. And I wish we could ramp it up.
Can't get it done by tomorrow afternoon?
Things, so much of this is money dependent. If I had unlimited funds, we would, of course, cover this issue. But sadly, we don't. So we're just hedging our bets and going with the ones that are going to be around for months and years.
Right. I just wanted to go over that was a great explanation. I just wanted to go over it so people, if they were going here to find something on Judge Kavanaugh, they wouldn't necessarily find that particular topic too much. As was it Cho En Lai once said when asked about the effects of the French Revolution back in 1968, he said, "Too soon to tell." It's the same thing with comedy.
Great quote. Right. Yes.
Yeah. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, too soon to tell. So we're going to move off on that. But I do want to talk about something very important, near and dear to my heart. It should be near and dear to every school. That's civics education. As everybody well knows, they watch television. There's 10 million ads. The midterms are coming up. Okay, and a lot of states they're more important than midterms. They're electing certainly senators, they're electing governors, et cetera, and the midterm elections refer more to, the midterm of the president, all right? Talk about this, Commie, and this is key because I remember in the last election things got so rancorous, a lot of teachers just avoided it, okay? And then everybody moaned and groaned about, not everybody, I should say it that way, but people were concerned about the results, all right, and how it happened. People didn't understand the voting. Hillary Clinton wins popular, but President Trump wins the electoral, hence wins the election, okay? But a lot of teachers were scared to touch it because it was so toxic. So what's happening with the midterms, and how can they use ProCon to teach civics at this? It's a very important election for both sides.
Oh, my gosh, Larry, what a huge question. You know, it's a question that...
If you can answer
not
that
just,
in 30 seconds, right. I'd like to go on with question two. Take your time.
Yeah, I appreciate that. You know, let me put it in this meta perspective, and it really has to do with the notion of the United States in general. You know, when our founders created this country, they believed that we needed to have an informed citizenry to keep this experiment in democracy advancing and to have the republic continue to thrive. Now, that means that it's not just a group of educated individuals who are making smart decisions, but it's constant cycles, generation after generation after generation of people who are learning and understanding what the issues are and how to be their best self-governors and electing the best elected representatives. Now, what we found is over the course of time that the faith in our institutions, that the voter participation rate, voter education rates, these things are on the decline. And those trends are very concerning for those of us who value what this country is all about. You know, we could live anywhere in the world, but we're choosing to live here because of the promise and the prospects and all the prosperity that it offers. And so we don't want that to be diminished in any way due to lack of participation and poor choices that are made by folks at the ballot box. So it's really been incumbent upon us as individuals to carry forth this notion that was presented by the founders. I mean, look, Ben Franklin created University of Pennsylvania, right? Wasn't it Thomas Jefferson who created a university, George Washington a university? The founders strongly believed in education.
Not to mention the University of Larry, which I'm starting.
Thank you. Right.
I'm giving you a PhD this afternoon.
Yes.
That's no problem.
Ooh.
Yeah,
I'm updating my resume as we speak. You know, that, that's the idea.
Oh, who needs a resume?
It is really important for us to focus on educating citizens and to think very consciously about citizenship and what it means to be a good citizen in the world is perhaps one of the greatest outcomes of the educational process. So when we think about that and we think about civics education, you talked, and I'm so glad you brought it up, about a lot of teachers who they don't want to deal with pushback from administrators.
Yeah.
They don't want to deal with pushback from parents. You know, oh, we discussed the death penalty in class today because we want to help students understand both sides of this issue. And then now one parent sends an angry email and now the vice principal is in the classroom and saying maybe you shouldn't talk about this stuff, and they don't want to deal with that, so they just avoid the issue. Now, the consequence of avoiding the issue is just like it is for adults. What do they say? You don't talk about religion and politics. So
yep.
What happens? We don't talk about it in school. We don't talk about it in our adult lives. So who the heck is talking about it, and how are we possibly going to be informed and make good decisions on these issues? Bottom line is we have to talk about it. It is perhaps our greatest duty as citizens of this country is to explore these issues and understand them well. So that said, how do you do it? It's awfully hard to do. If I wanted to understand the death penalties as an example, it would take weeks and weeks of my life, and I'm someone who's has developed a skill for research. Now, if someone doesn't have time, they don't have the skill, they barely have the interest, they're not going to do it. So what ProCon tries to do, and I think we've got this down, is we have made it super easy for students, teachers, and everybody else to understand these issues from both sides in minutes. We spend, like I said, 400 plus hours on a topic at minimum, and then you will come along and spend 5 minutes reading it and think, boy, I know everything I need to know about this issue. I now stand firmly on this side, or I thought I stood over here, but now I'm pretty sure I stand over there, and really challenge yourself and learn more. So for teachers and educators who are thinking, I don't want to deal with this, teachers, this is your sword. This is your shield. You're not talking about one side of the issue. You're talking about both sides of the issue, and you're using a resource that is professionally curated. This is a resource that when we were listed as a top 20 reference website by the Reference Division of the American Library Association. We're in the same bucket as TED and Google and Wikipedia. What a huge honor. So teachers, it's safe, and more importantly, perhaps, it's free. It's free.
Yeah.
And that's,
no, thank you. Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, Larry, to answer your question, you said 30 seconds, and I probably took 30 minutes, or it feels like
it. You said 30 seconds. I mean, or I was kidding when I said 30 seconds. I get all the time in the world. How do you come? You're the CEO, and this is an important question. You have your own. Everybody does. You have your own biases. Okay, you might like Trump, or you might like Hillary Clinton. I don't know. All right, and you know, but you're managing people. Now, I know they're researchers. Okay, how do you, as the manager or the director, and your good colleagues, maintain a balance? Because hey, wait a minute, I think I'll leave this out because it tells too good about the other side type thing. How do you do that? How do you maintain a balance?
It's really the magic sauce of what makes ProCon, I think, so successful. So bottom line is there needs to be a personal motivation. So we try to assess that personal motivation when we do the hiring process. But the personal motivation is an indicator. It's not a guarantee. And we need guaranteed outcome of no bias on the sites. So what we established over the course of years is a very rigorous methodology. Before content is published at ProCon, it first starts with a researcher and a topic, and that researcher may spend weeks delving into an issue. Then they present their information and the research to an editor, and that editor will beat up the content with the notion that this has to be unbiased. Then it goes back to the researcher for round two. Then from there it goes to a peer review process where lots of people beat up on it internally. Then it goes back to the researcher. Then it goes externally. We send it to people who are experts in that specific topic, five pro, five con, five somewhere in between, and we ask them to take their best shots at it. And that means, for example, on the topic of gun rights / gun control, for that topic, we sent it to the National Rifle Association, and we sent it to the Brady Center. So we sent it, as examples, we sent it to academics on both sides of this debate because we wanted them to take their best shots. What didn't we include that we should have? Which arguments could be developed more strongly? And so we take another round, and then it comes back internally, and it goes to the editor and to the researcher, and then it goes to another peer review process, and it goes to a copy editing process, and then finally it gets published. So it's seven scrubs before it gets published. It is not fast at all. It is purposefully inefficient because we are constantly questioning and challenging ourselves throughout the content production process, but it's all for this outcome, this fanatical devotion to the concept of neutrality. And so when we say, what is ProCon, it's neutral, well, it's actively neutral, and that's different than passively neutral. We are fanatically neutral, so that way people feel like they can really trust this site. It's authoritative and trustworthy, and that is not just because we say it's trustworthy, but because they can see it in the final outcome going, boy, I read the side I completely disagree with, and you know what? Maybe I agree with it. You know, it needs to be compelling, and that's what we find is that when we surveyed our own audience and said, how many of you changed your mind on an issue based on what you read at ProCon? And I thought, Larry, man, if we get to 5%, you know, pizza party, right? But we got to 36%. I thought, whoa, my 36%. I thought, you can't do that with a weapon, and here we are doing it with information. Let's try this again. A year and a half later, same question, survey, and we got to 40%. I thought, wow, there's something that is – people just are not exposed to the other side in these very artful, compelling ways. And so that's what I think is the magic of ProCon, that exposure. We're so in our echo chambers and in our filter bubbles, and technology is reinforcing it through social media and what shows up on our feeds. And, of course, our own neighborhoods are reinforcing it. You know, you're going to – if you're a Prius person, are you going to live in a neighborhood with trucks with gun racks in the driveways, or are you going to live in a neighborhood where there's Priuses in the driveways? You know, people are moving into their self-sorting. They're self-sorting, and technology is reinforcing it. And then, of course, our own awkward conversations around the dinner tables are isolating us further from people who we think we disagree with. And the reality is that we have far more in common with one another as human beings and as citizens of this country than
absolutely.
Our politics would lead us to believe. And so that's what I find so magically disruptive about ProCon, is that it helps us realize that, wow, the other side has some merit. Those people are not crazy. Those people are not idiots and buffoons. Those people just have a different point of view that comes from an informed place, and that's okay. You know, we can still be friends and have a beer.
And as long as everybody comes from an informed place, that's just perfect. Your little story about the Prius reminded me, my good friends who are actually going to come visit this week, and they live in Vermont, And when I pulled into their condo building, every car was a foreign car. Mine was a BMW, their Subarus, anything you could possibly think of. All these sleek, quote, liberal cars that he just said he had just visited his wife's, he had just visited his wife's family, who are farmers in Indiana, very conservative folks. And there wasn't a single foreign car. It was all Ford trucks and GMC and all that. And that was just beyond. Okay, there was just such a difference in the cars they picked. And it's true, you go into a certain neighborhood, all right, and bingo, okay, you can kind of figure out what their attitudes are, but everybody needs to be open-minded and literally, like you say, understand the issues, understand each other, but it is very funny. It is very funny when you put it that way. All right, I want to make sure, okay, people understand Procon.org is free, and there's a teacher's corner on here, okay? It's one of the icons, all right? And they have a great quote, education is the most powerful weapon we can use to change the world. That's from the great Nelson Mandela, okay? So talk to me about what you're doing specifically for teachers, just so they get it.
Well, sure. So Procon, in a lot of ways, is like a buffet of information. All the data is there, research is there. You go and help yourself. What teachers do is so special. My wife's a high school English teacher, and I've worked with teachers my whole career. Right. You know, so I really appreciate and value the special role that they have in our world. So what we tried to develop for teachers was a way to make it easy so they can just – they get the information from our buffet, and then they can present it to the students in a way that is really going to be more impactful because it's directly teaching them these critical thinking skills that they so desperately need. And this cuts across all topics. So when we look at which teachers are using Procon, number one, it's English and language arts teachers. And second, it's social studies teachers. But third,
English and language arts, I would have thought social studies would have been first. That's really interesting.
Right, right. It's because they're teaching persuasive essays, and they're teaching writing, and then after social studies, though, then you see journalism and speech and debate. Oh. That makes sense. But then you see science. You know, we see science. We see math. We see computer science. We see environmental sciences. Right. There's so many. It cuts any topic across any topic. There is bound to be some divisive issues within those fields, within those industries and economic niches that we need to explore. And so, the Teacher's Corner is full of lesson plan ideas for teachers across the curricula to incorporate Procon into their instruction in various ways. We are not giving people the 7-page plan and follow all these steps. My wife said, Kami, just tell me the nut of the idea. I'm going to incorporate it in the classroom in my way. We thought, okay, great. And we heard that from so many teachers who said, okay, great. Well, here's the idea of it, and here's where in Procon it sort of integrates. And then beyond that, here's how it ties to Common Core standards, if you care about that. Here's where it ties to various other state standards and various other national standards. So you can say, hey, administrators, look, checking all the boxes, and more importantly, I'm teaching what I want to teach. And that's what, you know, so many teachers, they say, just close the door and teach. And so we're trying to make it easy for them to do it by showing them use cases in 10,000 different schools. How are they using Procon in their classrooms and giving examples of that? And then we're giving them our lesson plan ideas. And we've developed some resources specifically for advanced placement course instruction, as well as showing the outcomes of teaching controversial issues and critical thinking in the classroom. A lot of teachers, when they do this, they know intuitively that this is important, we ought to be doing it. What's really interesting from where I sit is, what is the meta outcome of this? What if, not just in this classroom, but thousands of classrooms across the country for a few decades, what is the outcome of this? What do we know about it? And Larry, that's where I really get even more excited about the notion of using controversial issues to teach critical thinking, and I get more jazzed about the need for civics education. I mean, it is probably the in survey of higher ed faculty, they said, what do you believe is an essential learning outcome? 93% of them say it's critical thinking. When they did a survey of 11,000 UCLA graduates, this is 10 years after they graduated, they said, what was the most important thing you learned in school? It wasn't what they learned in their major. Number one was their interpersonal skills, and number two was their critical thinking skills.
Is that
far more than the specific knowledge, right? And we go on and on down the list. What else does it do? It develops student attention, student motivation, student achievement. It boosts creativity and self-esteem. It it increases, these are based on studies now, it increases the appreciation of cultural diversity. It helps students develop nonviolent strategies for dealing with conflict. Can you imagine like how valuable that can be? And then, of course, it helps students become more informed and more active citizens, more likely to vote, more likely to follow the news, more likely to participate in political process and in their own communities, more likely to be active and engaged citizens. These are major, major outcomes that all stem from the very basic act of, hey, why don't we talk about some important issues in the classroom? So when I think about our teacher's corner, I'm thinking about those outcomes. I'm thinking about being very tactical and saying, teachers, look, we're trying to make it easy for you. Lord knows you got a finite number of hours in the day and far more work to do within those hours. So let's make this very easy for you and give you the sword and the shield so you're not going to get any grief from admin and from parents so that you can do what you know is very important in the class.
Well, yeah, you know, it's amazing, and you just said something that's so important. Almost every school district in the country is trying to focus on social-emotional learning, all right? It's key. And the critical thinking that allows you to live with your brothers and sisters, so to speak, without argumentation all the time, where you think something through before you say it, okay, it's so important to social-emotional learning. So what you're doing, in a way, it's helping that, and I hope every teacher takes advantage of this. And I'm going to – you have a quote, which I always love on your website. It's from Desmond Tutu, and it says, "My father used to say," says Desmond Tutu, "don't raise your voice, improve your argument," which is just a great quote. Don't raise your voice, improve your argument. So, Kami, this is great stuff. Can I read another quote, Kami?
Please do. We've got so many good ones.
I know. You got a great one. I love this one. This one's from Richard Paul, critical thinking scholar, how to prepare students for a rapidly changing world. Quote, "Critical thinking is thinking about your thinking while you're thinking in order to make your thinking better." It's thinking about your thinking while you're thinking in order to make your thinking better. Okay, there you go. It's right across the board. Procon.org, everybody. And over the next month, there's going to be a lot of talk about the elections, a lot of controversy. Bring these things up, but bring them up in a fair manner. You worried about doing that? Procon.org. Kami, what you do is great. Keep up the good work, my friend.
Thank you so much, and you as well.
Thanks, pal. I love having you on. Okay, have a great day. You got most of it left. Me, I'm going to go to lunch.
All right, Larry. Much appreciated. Okay. Have a fabulous rest of your day. Enjoy you and your foreign car in a domestic driveway.
Thank you. I love it. Okay, thank you so much. My BMW in the fields of Indiana. There you go with the GMC trucks. Okay, thanks, Kami.
All right, take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. I have to remember that, okay? I love that little anecdote, but it just goes to show you the differences, but there's more in common than there are differences, because obviously when you buy a car, everybody wants to get where they're going. We're going to archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks, Kami. Can't thank you enough all for listening. I'll get that music right eventually.